It ain't paradise, that's true, but it's a whole hell of a lot better than the place I sent him to. Yeah. Just wait in the truck.
Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy.
Wait in the truck. Just wait in the truck.
Have mercy,
the heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
Living on love. She don't care about what's in style. She just likes the way he smiles. It takes more than marble and tile. Living on love. Living on love. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much when you get enough, living on love. Children gone, but still they sing. Side by side in that front porch swing, living on love. He can't sue anymore. She can barely sweep the floor. Hand in hand, they'll walk through that door, just living on love. Living on love. Buying on time without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. And it doesn't take much when you get enough, living on love. Living on love, buying on time without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. Well, it sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much, you get enough, living on love. No, it doesn't take much when you get enough living on love.
Crowd drinking too much beer. So baby, tell me, would it be alright if we just take a little rain check and stay right here? I'm sure we could find something to do. As a matter of fact, baby, why don't you grab a couple glasses and a bottle of wine? Walk down the hall and turn down the lights. Baby, while you're there. Yeah, I can take it from there. I'm gonna put an old record on Conway Twitty, yeah, girl, I'd love to lay you down. Kill the ringer on the telephone. Ain't gonna stop loving you till the candle burns out. Oh, there it is, that little smile of yours. Come. And that bottle of wine. Walk down the hall and darling, turn down those lights. Baby, while you're at it, you might as well let down your hair. And I can take it from there. I can take it from there.
That cowboy hat to cover up his horns. Sweet talking forked tongue had a tempting charm. Before I turned around, that girl was gone. All I can say is, bartender, pour me something strong. Here's to the past, they can kiss my glass. I hope she's happy with him. Here's to the girl who wrecked my world, that angel who did me in. I think the devil drives a coup de ville. I watched him drive away over the hill. Not against her will, I've got time to kill. Down in broken Hartsville. It was long and chrome sitting in the lot. 5 engine red, that thing was hot. He revved it up, she waved Here's to the past, they can kiss my glass. I hope she's happy with him. Here's to the girl who wrecked my world, that angel who did me in. I think the devil drives a coupe de ville. I watched him drive away over the hill. Not against her will, I've got time to kill down in broken Hartsville. Here's to the past, they can kiss my glass. I hope she's happy with him. Here's to the girl who wrecked my world, that angel who did me in. I think the devil drives a coupe de ville. I watched him drive away over the hill. Not against her will, I've got time to kill down in broken Hartsville.
You still look like an angel. I heard you're doing fine. Got promoted back in April. And you met someone. Your dad says he's okay. Somebody too. She's a model out in LA, and she's begging me to move. She says Malibu is really great. I ain't decided if I'm going or not, but at the end of the day, hey, I sleep like a baby. Show up late for work. I don't drink whiskey. I don't know how it feels to hurt. Oh, and I ain't been lonely since you said goodbye. Wish I could say I miss you, but you know I never lie.
Wisconsin Rapids home for country favorites and classics. 105.5 WIRI.
She's dressed to kill in the dress he bought her. She wouldn't care if he walked in and caught her. She's come to dance a dance or two, and do no telling what by the time the night is through. She found out the hard way about him. She's out to find out how she'll do without him. Her hands are shaking, her heart's pounding by the way she's drinking. His memory. What a good thing he had. Well, it's too late. That's too.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
It's an age-old question. Do parents really have favorites among their children? Recent research answers the question, predicts which child may be favored, and reveals the long-term effects on kids as they grow up.
Most parents are going to say, I don't have one. Who do you spend more time with? Who are you more affectionate towards? Who do you give more money to? Who do you have more conflict with? Those types of questions.
Then, your personal data is being bought and sold. Is there anything you can do about it?
Anything that's connecting to Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, the odds are pretty good that there are companies in the background lurking there to collect as much information about you as possible.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's edition of InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Business taxes. Was stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost, so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text LION to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text LION to 42424. That's LION to 42424.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
If you grew up with brothers and sisters, you may have wondered if your parents had a favorite child. Recent research into this question had some eye-opening results, and InfoTrack's Roy Mackey has the details. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Professor Alan Jensen from the Brigham Young University School of Family Life. Professor, what inspired you to study this issue, whether parents have favorites and how that affects sibling relationships?
So somebody who studies sibling relationships, this is one of those questions people ask me all the time. And most of us have siblings or we have kids of our own, and people just want to know who tends to be the favorite.
So let's start with the most important findings from your study.
Probably at the top of that list is that daughters tend to be the favorite child. And this is something that surprised us. Going into this, we thought it would be sons, or at least maybe fathers would favor sons and mothers would favor daughters. But when we asked parents, who do you tend to give this kind of preferential treatment to? Parents tended to say it was the daughters, both mothers and fathers. But there's a caveat with that, that we asked also children who tends to be the favorite. So if you're a daughter, do you feel like you're being favored? If you're a son, do you feel like it's your sister? And in the case of the kids, they did not feel like there was actually favoritism going on there regarding gender.
And what about younger siblings? Are they favorites typically?
This is a great one. You know, historically, I think most people think younger kids are the favorite. I'm the youngest kid in my family. I think a lot of my siblings would say that I am. And in some cases, we found that the answer is yes. However, it gets a little more complicated than that. So when we're measuring favoritism, we're not just saying, who is your favorite child? Most parents are going to say, I don't have one. And most parents probably don't actually have one. But instead, we say, who do you spend more time with? Who are you more affectionate towards? Who do you give more money to? Who do you have more conflict with? Those types of questions. So in many ways, parents were saying, yes, maybe I do tend to favor those younger kids, but it was a very small effect. But then when we asked them, who do you give more freedom to? Meaning like, who do you let make their own decisions and, you know, go do things outside of the home without supervision? Parents tended to favor older kids. Now, when I say that, people say, well, of course, right? They're older. But a key thing about this study is we're looking at kids from childhood, like 3, 4, 5, all the way up into adulthood. And even as adults, parents were saying, I tend to give more freedom to my older child.
Do moms and dads typically have the same favorite, or does that differ as well?
You know, in this study, we weren't able to pull that apart. But some other research on this topic would say that it's often different, usually not the same child.
What impact does this perceived favoritism have on that particular child's mental health and behavior?
This is the question, right, of why does this all matter? Other research, my own included, consistently finds that children who are getting the short end of the stick, right, not being treated as favorably as their sibling, they are more likely to be depressed, to be anxious. They're more likely to get in trouble at school and at home. They also tend to report worse relationships with their family members, their siblings, their parents. So in general, it's not good.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Professor Alex Jensen from the Brigham Young University School of Family Life, and he recently conducted a study into whether parents have favorites among their kids and how that affects sibling relationships. Professor, I wanted to touch on that relationship between siblings. How does that favoritism affect that relationship, and does that continue into adulthood for the siblings?
Here it gets slightly more complicated. So we often are looking at who gets the preferential treatment and who gets the less favored treatment or the less favored child. And those who are less favored are going to report stronger effects here. But when we're talking about the family relationships, we also often look at just how much inequality there is in that treatment. Every family, the parents are going to need to treat the kids differently to some degree. But when those differences become larger, both the favored and the less favored kids are actually reporting that they have worse family relationships. And does that continue into adulthood? We don't have great data to really back this up. We're often looking at short-term longitudinal studies or maybe cross-sectional studies. But data from those sources would say this does continue to matter. People in adulthood still, if you ask them how they were treated in comparison to a sibling while they were growing up, those things still often impact their mental health and their well-being, even into their 70s, 80s, 90s.
How can parents recognize if they're unintentionally favoring one child over another?
I think your kids will let you know one way or another. Maybe it's that they outright say it, that this isn't fair. Maybe it's that they're just showing signs of stress around dynamics with their siblings. But if you're paying attention to how your kids are acting, what they're saying, I think they'll let you know. But I think the key there is to being open to that you might be doing this poorly.
Do you have any suggestions for parents who want to balance treating their children equally while still addressing their individual needs?
There's a study, it's fairly old now, from the late 90s, and has been replicated a couple of times. What they found was that if children recognize the reasons for those differences, and those reasons are legitimate, that then the effects of the favoritism tends to wash away. So at least the way I approach this in my parenting and the way I encourage other people is try to have some open dialogue with your kids about those differences, why they exist. And if your reasons are legitimate and logical, hopefully then you can communicate that to your kids. One example that I often share, my oldest daughter, this is probably, 7 or 8 years ago, she was feeling really frustrated. And I could tell it had something to do with favoritism. And it took a couple of weeks to get her to open up and explain this to me, especially because she was younger, right, and be able to vocalize this. But one day she just said, "Dad, it's not fair because my little sister has more clothes than I do." And you know, inside, I just kind of laughed. I'm like, okay, this is much more minor than what I was thinking. But I was like, all right, so you know, where do you get your clothes from? And we talked about how we buy her clothes. And I said, now when your sister gets clothes, where do they come from? And the first thing that popped into her head was, oh, she gets all my hand-me-downs. And it just clicked in her head. Well, of course she's going to have more. She gets all my worn-out clothes and she gets new clothes too. But that's why she has more. And she popped up from the table, ran off, and she was fine.
Just as a final word, do you have any advice for parents how they can use the findings from your study to make some positive adjustments?
Use these findings to just reflect. You know, maybe it's not that you favor daughters. Maybe it's not that you favor your youngest. But we all do treat our kids differently. So reflect on how those differences happen in your family and be open to change.
Professor Alex Jensen from the Brigham Young University School of Family Life, thank you very much for sharing your research with us.
Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, they're selling your personal info and it's legal. That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back?
back. If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SKINNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SKINNY to 200-300. That's SKINNY to 200-300. SKINNY to 200-300.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Think you're in control of your personal data? Think again. A recent report by the Electronic Privacy Information Center and the U.S. PIRG Education Fund reveals that nearly half the states with consumer privacy laws are flunking when it comes to protecting your information. Joining us to talk about this is R.J. Cross, U.S. PIRG Education Fund's Don't Sell My Data campaign director and a report co-author, and she's here to help us unpack this report.
Glad to be here, Chris. This is an issue that really impacts all Americans. Anytime we use a device that connects to the internet, like our smartphones or computers, anything that's connecting to Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, the odds are pretty good that there are companies in the background that are lurking there to collect as much information about you as possible in order to sell it to other entities. And this has been going on for 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, and it's been almost entirely legal for all of it, which means that right now, odds are very good that there are hundreds of companies, many of which you've never heard of, holding information about you. And so you would think that something that is a consumer privacy law would actually protect your privacy as a consumer, but a lot of them actually just don't do that. They allow for companies to continue collecting basically whatever information they want about you and doing basically whatever they want with it. A lot of browsing information, like every website you've ever visited, every purchase you've ever made, every web search you've ever done, where you work, what your education level is, and where you went to school. A lot of information about your household income, about your family, you know, how many kids do you have in the home, what ages are they. A lot of information that ultimately gets used a lot of times to target you with ads, which sounds, you know, a lot of people don't mind getting targeted ads. But the problem is that the massive data sharing network that goes behind a lot of the targeted ads that you get really exposes you to a lot of privacy and data security concerns, too.
Can a consumer realistically protect their data without strong government regulations in place?
Not really. Again, part of the problem is that there's just so many dang entities that are holding your information at any given point in time that it's really hard for you to meaningfully take control of your information. And that's one of the things that these laws, they sound on paper really nice. They say, hey, you have the right to go request that a company delete the information that it has on you. But the problem is there are so many entities with so many different processes that even if you knew who had your data, it would be like taking on a part-time job just to go actually exercise your right to delete. And so even where we have laws, it's really hard to actually protect yourself. And what we need laws to do is to actually stop companies from collecting so much data up front, as opposed to saying, yeah, they can collect whatever they want, and you just have to do cleanup on the back end.
There are 19 states with consumer privacy laws, and 8 received failing grades. Why did no state receive an A, and what would a perfect privacy law look like?
That's a great question. Right now, what's happening in the states is that laws are getting really heavily shaped by the very industries that they would regulate. So you have a lot of major technology companies, a lot of telecoms companies, which, you know, AT&T, T-Mobile, a lot of folks have come under fire for the fact that they sell consumer data as well. A lot of these big industries that rely on data sales have played a really big role in shaping what these laws look like and have done a lot of effective lobbying to water them down. And again, what they're looking to do a lot of times is kind of enshrine the current status quo, where companies are allowed to collect whatever they want about you and do whatever they want with it, into law. And that's a pattern that we've seen play out across so many different states. Again, what a good law would do instead is it would say, hey, companies, you can only collect the information that's necessary to deliver the service a consumer is expecting to get, and you can only do what a consumer is expecting with their data. So for instance, is I have like the Tim Hortons loyalty app, and I want to find the location nearest to me, it makes sense that for a second, that app can have access to my location in order to tell me what the nearest restaurant is. What it shouldn't be able to do is then go on recording my location data throughout the day, and it shouldn't be able to turn that around and sell it to other entities. So it's all about bringing what's happening with our data in line with like what we're expecting to have happen.
We're talking with RJ Cross, U.S. PIRG Education Fund's Don't Sell My Data campaign director. And she's helping us unpack this report. Can you share maybe what would be a most concerning example of how personal data has been misused by big corporations?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. I mean, one of the things that's been hitting the news in the last year in particular is that some automakers have been found to be selling people's driving data to data brokers, which are companies that their whole business model is collecting data and reselling it. And those data brokers have been selling it to the insurance industry and using that to set people's rates without consumers knowing that that has happened. And so that's a big one. In fact, the Federal Trade Commission issued an order for GM to stop selling people's data. And they were kind of the biggest actor that was recently found to be selling people's data to the insurance industry this way. So that's one example. Another one that really I find alarming is that a bunch of apps that we use probably are collecting your location data. And that location data is very valuable to get sold because it says a lot about where you live. For instance, you know, where your home is could tell a lot about your income, for example. And so there's a lot of parties that are really interested in having access to your location data and a lot of apps that are trying to get you to share your location data. And the NSA just a couple months ago actually put out a consumer alert and said, you should go turn off location sharing on as many of your apps as possible. And that's definitely a tip that I would say people should act on today.
Now, your report suggests that limiting data collection in the first place is the best way to protect privacy. What would that look like in practice?
It would mean that when you go to a website, it doesn't throw up that pop-up that's like, hey, you know, accept cookies, or even something that says, you know, we just collect cookies and there's no chance for you to opt out. There wouldn't be that. It would simply just not have web cookies in the background. And web cookies are a type of tracking technology that oftentimes is embedded back there in order to send your data about what you're doing on your browser to all kinds of companies that really don't need to know that information. So it would change that way. And it would also mean that probably in the long run, you would be getting fewer alerts about your data having been a part of a data breach. That's one of the big issues here is not everyone is that motivated about the idea of privacy. A lot of folks think, oh, I've got nothing to hide, so it's the big deal. But this is also a question of data security, because the more data that companies collect about you and the more other companies they share it with, the more likely it is eventually your information is going to be exposed in a breach or a hack. And at that point, it can end up in the hands of anyone like identity thieves or scammers or up for sale on the dark web. And so in the long term, regulations that really stop companies from collecting and selling data unnecessarily would help shore up your personal security.
So we were talking about states before. How likely is it that we'll see a comprehensive federal privacy law anytime soon?
That's a really good question. I mean, I'm going to be honest right now that I can't predict what Congress is and is not going to do in this particular moment. I will say that there has been movement in the last couple of years towards trying to pass a comprehensive privacy law. And it's been kind of a vicious battle between industry groups that are trying to take the weakest state laws that we've seen, you know, those nearly half that get an F, and trying to make that a federal law and making the argument like, look, all these states have already kind of decided that this is the right model and let's just make it a federal thing. And in my perspective, that would be a real bad turn of events for folks because those laws are so weak. So, you know, if we do see something out of Congress, it's possible, you know, anytime soon, that it would be weaker than an ideal law and not give people as many protections as it sounds like a privacy law has.
And lastly, are there any immediate steps our listeners can take to better protect their personal information right after they finish listening to us?
Of course. I've mentioned a couple of the big ones. So first, do not accept web cookies. Do everything you can to avoid accepting web cookies, even though it's annoying to click into the pop-up. There's like a little manage my settings. Take the time to do those to make sure you're limiting the amount of web cookies that are embedding in your browser. And also another big piece of advice is be suspicious of apps. Only download apps that you absolutely need and go and remove any apps on your phone that you aren't using. And then go into your settings and make sure that you're not sharing your location at all times with any of your apps. Again, apps are a little bit of like a Trojan horse on your phone that a lot of times they'll have software from other companies in the background that will be collecting data and sending it to, you know, a third party. And so you want to be really judicious about the number of apps that you have on your phone at any given time.
Good advice. RJ Cross, U.S. PIRG Education Fund's Don't Sell My Data campaign director and co-author of this report we've been discussing. RJ, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition, roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you or someone you know is struggling with financial debt, you'll want to hear the true story of a woman deep in debt who found a way to achieve financial freedom. InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back and has the story. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. We're talking with Bernadette Joy. She's a financial coach and now the author of Crush Your Money Goals, 25 Smart Money Habits to Save, Invest, and Fast Track Your Financial Freedom. Bernadette, as the title suggests, your book focuses on 25 smart money habits. What was the turning point in your life that led you to develop those?
In 2016, I found myself in $300,000 of debt that included $72,000 of student loans, mortgages, and credit cards. And when I Googled how to crush all this debt, there was a lot of information, but it felt very disorganized, and a lot of it didn't feel like it resonated with me at the time that I was on this path. And so I decided that I wanted to take the best of what I've heard, but also put in some of the things that were from my own lived experience and create this framework.
Your book has all kinds of actionable habits. Can you share maybe three critical habits that anyone can implement today, or maybe the ones that make the most difference?
Yes. One that I just practiced this past weekend was what I call Screenless Sundays. And it sounds exactly what it is. On Sundays, I encourage folks to spend as much, if not all of the day, away from all their screens. So no laptops, no television, no cell phones. And what that does is it really helps you reset your brain to not have this overstimulation and making some of those choices that are usually influenced by what we see on social media or what we might see in terms of content that's telling us that our lives aren't good enough. And so that's something I've been practicing for a very long time, and it's been really helpful for me. Number two would be my favorite little hack, which is called the dollar rule, which is simply permission to buy something if it's going to come out to a dollar per use. So you can't see me right now, but I'm wearing this white shirt that I bought for $24. And when I was at the store, I said, okay, it's $24. Can I wear it 24 times? If the answer is yes, I'm not going to sit here and mull all day as to whether or not I should buy this shirt. I'm just going to give myself permission to buy it. And what that does, it helps take a lot of the guilt out of spending, but also prioritizing things that are good quality and that will last us a long time. And the last habit that I think anyone can use is what I call the rule of world peace. And A lot of us know that as the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. And I call it world peas because Pareto actually figured this out by observing his pea garden, that 20% of this pea garden was actually producing 80% of the results. And so I like to use that same analogy in personal finances to say, rather than trying to do everything all at once and have a million goals at the same time, what's the 20% of things that you think will be the biggest bang for your buck in terms of focus in your financial plan, and focus on that? And that's probably where you're going to see the biggest bang for your buck.
Bernadette, you've been an advocate of living debt-free, but is there ever a time when taking on debt is a smart financial move?
Absolutely. So a lot of people assume that just because I am debt-free and I teach debt freedom that I am against debt. But I have learned from coaching so many people that there are absolutely times where it is necessary. For example, if you are in a clear like medical emergency, you're not going to not get the care that you need because you might have to have some medical debt. Or I have often unfortunately seen a lot of people going through difficult divorces or things like that, and they might have to take out some debt in order to maybe leave a toxic relationship. And so while I do think that there's a lot of scenarios where you can avoid debt and should avoid debt where it's not absolutely necessary, I don't want people to feel shame for having taken on debt in order to improve the quality of their life.
Is there one myth about wealth building that you wish more people would stop believing?
Yes, the idea that once you hit financial independence or you hit financial freedom, then you will be happy. You know, it's very easy to move the goalpost out over and over again. And I did that several times when I was calculating my own financial freedom number. I was like, oh, I only need this amount. But then I reached it and I was like, let me try and make it more. And let me try and make it more. And what I realized along the way is it sounds very corny maybe to some folks, but the idea that wealth without health and like good relationships is really just a pile of money. And so to sacrifice your health for the sake of building wealth is not something that I think people should do, but I see a lot of people doing it.
If listeners take away just one lesson from your book, what would it be?
We actually have a lot more agency over our finances than we think we do. There is a lot of rhetoric now when it comes to the external factors that might affect our finances, whether it be the government or inflation or systematic issues. But before we can just relegate our financial futures to things that we cannot control, I really hope that people realize that actually my habits are a big, if not the biggest, influence of where I can go with my finances, and I have control over my life.
Bernadette Joy, financial coach and the author of Crush Your Money Goals. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that wraps up this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll be here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky across the area for today and light winds. Couple of flurries out there as well. Highs reaching the middle 30s. For tonight, clouds will stick around. A little light wintry mix in spots. Lows in the lower 30s. It's 21 at our studios.
Quick stop, midnight tea, top jack in her cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, picking us up by a barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Church parking lot, trying not to get caught. Take her home and give her your jacket. Making it to second base, but saying you went all the way Monday afternoon at practice. Sister's got a boyfriend daddy doesn't like. Now he's sitting out back 30-30 in his lap in the blue bug zapper light. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the U.S.
truck stops, made a little map, dots New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids.
Sitting out here on the hood of this truck, looking up at a caramel-colored sunset sky. Checking my watch, doing the math in my head, counting backwards to when you said goodbye. Well, those runway lights are getting brighter.
T-shirt in my ride, running circles in my mind, couple billion in the world, baby, you're the only girl in mind. You took the single out of my life, now I can't wait to see you tonight. In my CJC, messing with my rear view, no, I don't feel like me, girl, if I ain't got you. In my t-shirt and my ride, running circles in my mind, couple billion in the world, baby, you're the only girl. In that picture in my pocket, on my cell phone when I lock it, it's all you, no lie, baby. to me there'd never be nobody else in that blue beach chair by my side. The sun don't even wanna be there, girl, if you ain't the one. In my t-shirt and my ride, running circles in my mind, couple billion in the world, baby, you're all you. No lie, baby, you're the only girl in my head when I'm dreaming. In my Friday, every weekend, all my days, my nights, baby, you're the only girl in my, yeah, you're the only girl in my. You took the single out of my life. Now, girl, you are only one I wanna see. Up in my t-shirt and my ride, running circles in my mind, couple billion in the world, baby, you're the only girl. In that picture in my pocket, on my cell phone when I lock it, it's all you.
Like a river, ever changing as it flows, and the dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes, trying to learn from what's behind you, and never knowing what's in store, makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Too many times we stand aside and let the water slip away, to what we put off till tomorrow has now become today. So don't you sit upon the shoreline and say you're satisfied. Choose to chance the rapids and dare to dance the tide. Yes, I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. And there's bound to be rough waters, and I know I'll take some falls, but with the good Lord as my captain, I can make it through them all. Yes, I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. I will say